Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Cousinard. Threw it away. Cousinard to Ryan Martin for the dunk. The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16. It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jumper by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16.
Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today we have Ryan Martin and Paul Miller of Wichita State's 2006 basketball team. That team won the Missouri Valley Conference title and advanced to the Sweet 16. I'll warn you in advance, we had some rough spots here with the internet. It's still a fun listen. I tried to edit my way through it. Enjoy.
We have two members of Wichita State's 2005-2006 team. We're going to reminisce a little bit. Those Shockers went 26-9, 14-4 in the Missouri Valley Conference. They advanced to the NCAA Sweet 16 with wins over Seton Hall in Tennessee. It was Wichita State's first Valley title since 1983, first NCAA tournament appearance since 1988. We have from Kansas City, Ryan Martin. Ryan was a forward on that team. Made the Missouri Valley Conference all-bench team, averaged 5.5 points, 4.7 rebounds. A few highlights from his season. Scored 10 points in both of the tournament games. Really played well against the Volunteers. He had 10 points on 5 of 6 shooting, 4 rebounds, a block, and a steal. Had a big steal that ended the Drake game, which clinched at least a share of the title for the Shockers up in Des Moines. 13 rebounds, 9 points. Then the next game against Illinois State when the Shockers cut down the nets after clinching the Valley title outright. From Jefferson City, Missouri, we have Paul Miller. He was the Valley Player of the Year. Honorable mention, AP All-American in 06, averaged 13.1 points, 6.6 rebounds. Some highlights, had 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 blocks in a double overtime win over Southern Illinois, 71-63. I think he played about every second of that game. The Drake game, he had the tip-in to clinch that game. About 3 seconds to go, had 15 points for Seton Hall in the NCAA tournament opener. All right, Paul, when's the last time you were at Central Dairy in Jeff City, and what did you order?
Oh, man. How you doing, Paul? I think the last time was probably about 3 years ago, and I think I had the Moose Tracks.
Good stuff. You did not expect a Central Dairy question, but I've been there, and I love it, so I thought I'd throw that out there. All right. Introduce yourself. Ryan, give us the life update. Where are you at and what are you doing?
I'm actually Ryan Martin in Minneapolis, Minnesota now. I'm a dean of students at Rockford High School, and I'm the head girls basketball high school.
Very good. Paul Miller, tell us about yourself. What are you up to these days?
These days, I live in Olathe, Kansas, and I work for Johnson & Johnson and sell medical products, trauma specifically, and I got a wife and two kids. My boy, Graham, is going on 3, and I have a girl that will be 1 in July.
Excellent. Give us a little update on pandemic life. Working from home, tell us about that, Ryan. Give us a little update on how things are going during the pandemic.
Well, actually, every day I still have to go to school. Because of the laws, we have to still provide lunches, so we still have to be, the administration still has to be in the building. So every day I have to go into the office for about 3 or 4 hours.
Paul, how about you? What's your life like during this time?
Well, our business has definitely slowed down significantly during this time, especially when the lockdown started. It's just the more people are out and about and active and doing things, then the more incidents you get and fractures. So our business slowed down, but still working and just a lighter load these days.
Do either of you have any good book recommendations, Netflix recommendations, things that we can use to pass the time when we're locked down a little bit?
I've been doing some house projects. That's kind of kept me busy. I don't know. I mean, we've watched everything under the sun. I mean, my son, he's got me watching Land Before Time. I've been watching a lot of that. So,
okay. Ryan, how about you?
Yeah, I've been watching a little bit of everything on Netflix. I mean, I watched Tiger King, and I was like, oh, my God, I think I'm really starting to lose my mind. You know, watching that show, it's just like it can't get any worse. And then the next episode, it's 10 times worse than the previous one.
How about The Last Dance?
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that, actually. You know, it's fun to kind of watch, you know, how Michael's entire career with the Bulls, like, played out, like, how it was when he first got to Chicago, and then how much turmoil they had that last season.
Interesting stuff. Paul, have you been watching the Jordan documentary?
Yeah, I've watched 4 episodes so far. I think, kind of like Ryan, I think that my perspective on it is that it is kind of interesting to go back and kind of see all the details and some of the stuff that, you know, was probably flying under the radar at that point in time, just based on media and availability and you know, the news cycle in those days. And then now, you know, with all the technology and video and you know, media that people can watch and be aware of, and social media, there's just so much more availability to information and just, you know, kind of what people have going on in their lives. And so, you know, it's really interesting to be able to look and see some of the things that were affecting the Bulls teams during that time, specifically Jordan, Pippen, and Phil Jackson, some of those guys. And, you know, there really hasn't been, you know, something this inclusive of their whole story, I think, you know, that Bulls era dynasty. And so it's pretty interesting.
Came along at a good time for all us sports fans, that's for sure. Okay, cutting down the nets. I would imagine that would be a highlight of that season. Do you still have your piece of net from that day in Coke Arena?
I don't. I might, actually. I mean, I don't know. There's some tubs in my basement that have some memorabilia, and it might be in there somewhere, but I don't have it, you know, sitting on a shelf anywhere visible at this point.
I think mine is at my parents' house in Kansas City. I'm not too sure. Last time I looked at it was probably like 10 years ago, probably. So, you know, I think it's still in Kansas City, but I'm not too sure.
When we – next year when we have March, I hope, I guess, like we usually do, NCAA tournament comes on. What kind of emotions does that tournament, the selection show, the CBS music – What memories does that stir up for you two?
Oh, I think, you know, for me, the thing that is just super cool is, like, now we get to look back and that was something that we wanted to achieve. And it was such a lofty goal at the time because of the history and what we were up against, just in terms of, you know, fighting that battle to kind of get back into that conversation and to be at that level. And so for us and for me personally, I think it's just, it signifies a journey that we went through during college and kind of the building of what Wichita State basketball is now. And it just kind of solidifies all those memories again when I hear that music and start thinking about March.
Ryan, how about you?
I mean, it takes me back to, you know, the decision I made to transfer to Wichita State from Coffeyville, and just the memories I have with all those guys that played on that team. And, you know, just looking, watching, sometimes I go back and I watch those games from the tournament just to, you know, just to reminisce a little bit. And, you know, my wife and I, like, sometimes she danced at the University of Kansas, so she likes to, like, talk about March Madness and kind of reminisce on that year and whatnot.
When you meet somebody new and, you know, the conversation, they find out you were Wichita State, you played college basketball, how do you describe that season? How do you describe that team to maybe somebody who's not familiar with that group?
Oh, I think in my conversations with folks, and mostly, you know, if they were basketball fans and around, you know, the Midwest or Kansas, they can look back at that time as kind of the you know, the beginning of Wichita State's, you know, I don't know, good times or starting to be a national player. And, you know, I think before that, when we were there, you know, the NIT was something that kind of was a mainstay there for a few years. And then getting over that hump and getting to the NCAA tournament, I think for fans of Kansas and people that are familiar with Kansas basketball as a state, you know, they can look back and, oh yeah, that was Turgeon's year when he was there and he got that team to the Sweet 16. And so, being able to be a part of that and have a memory for some of those people that, you know, we were at the beginning, it's pretty cool.
Ryan, how about you? How do you describe that Shocker season to someone who might not be familiar?
A lot like Paul. I mean, a lot of people recall that year as like the beginning of Wichita State's run to the tournament for like the next 10 years or so. A lot of people like can tell me like where they were at like during that run for us and like if they watched the game.
Ryan, take me through, you know, I'm asking you to go way back in the memories now, but take me through, is there a game, a practice? You know, what does stand out from a basketball standpoint from that season that you would say was important or indicative of what that team was about?
I'm going to fill in here quickly because we lost Ryan. The game he's talking about is a 71-63 double overtime win over Southern Illinois at Coke Arena on February 4th of 06. Paul Miller had 30 points in that game.
Everything, leaning on Paul and giving him the ball, and he was able to take us home at that point that we could compete with anybody in the country, especially after – you know, Jamal Tatum hits a three-pointer over PJ and I in the volleyball line to send it into overtime. I think at that point we were able to handle and get over the hump of adversity to prove that we belonged in those conversations.
You broke up a little bit. You're talking about the Southern Illinois game, the double overtime game?
Yeah, at home. Yeah. I thought that was the game that kind of put us over the top because, you know, Southern Illinois was the quote-unquote team in the league at that time, them in Northern Iowa. And I felt like once we got over that hump, like we could compete with anybody in the country.
Yeah, Paul, that was a memorable game, a big point of that season. What was the story with Southern Illinois? Why were they such a tough hill to climb? And what got the Shockers over the hump there that game?
Well, you know, in basketball, there's a lot of, you know, you got skill and teamwork that are essential, but confidence plays into basketball, I think, a lot more than people understand. And a belief in basketball can be a game of ups and downs. And as long as you continue to believe in yourself, you know, you all have a chance, it seems like. And sometimes when you play against Southern Illinois specifically, who just constantly be in your face and just punish you on the defensive end. I feel like at that point we felt like we were able to beat them and we weren't gonna let them beat us. And our confidence just started to grow and grow from there. Like Ryan said, after we were able to finish them off and win, it just it basically magnified our abilities, I think, and just gave us the chance to take it from there. And that was a real turning point in our season, I think, for just coaching staff, players, and everybody involved.
If you had to describe that team, how would you do it? What made that team click?
Well, I mean, if you look at statistically, our team was very well balanced. I mean, we had, we didn't have, you know, 10 guys playing 20 minutes a piece, but we had, you know, seven or eight guys that played a lot and we had valuable contributions from each and every one of those guys. And we also had guys that were consistent. We didn't have the players that were playing up and down and they'd have a bad game and came in night in, night out to do what they were supposed to do. And play to the game plan and listen to the coaches. And I think that contributed to us being, you know, in a lot of games, even if we did end up losing, and then also winning a lot of close games that year.
Ryan, you would have a little bit different perspective being a newcomer. What did you kind of come to understand about how that team worked, the team culture, the team mood?
Well, I think everybody just accepted and understood their roles on that team. Sergeant always had individual. Obviously, we don't know what everybody else was told, but I knew what my role was, so I just tried to be the best in my role that I possibly could be. And I think that, like Paul said, us just following the game plans and each other, took us a long way, especially with so many new faces that we had in the program. I don't think we had any other choice but to believe in each other if we were going to be successful that year.
All right, I may be stretching the technological bounds of this, but Ryan, I'm going to play you a little highlight here, and you give me your reaction to this. I hope this works. We'll see.
Into Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Kuznar. Threw it away. Kuznar to Ryan Martin for the dunk. The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16. It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jeffrey by Smith is no good.
I remember thinking, I didn't think PJ was going to pass me the ball, to be quite honest. I thought he was going to dribble out the time, to be quite honest. I always tell him that. And when he did, I was just kind of concentrating on, not traveling, because I knew that would have driven Coach nuts, and, not missing the dunk at the time.
And then the other famous moment, I think, or one of many famous moments from that game, is the interview afterwards. Mark Turgeon kind of made it an all-inclusive thing. Was that a highlight? Was that something you guys remembered from that weekend?
I definitely remember that. Ryan's dunk and then the celebration that we had on the floor, I feel like that was something that, is something I'll never forget. And because our fans have traveled well, and there was a bunch of people in the stands, and I remember just looking up at them, and I felt like, obviously we believed we could win, but it was almost in disbelief, like, wow, we did it, and at that moment, just celebrating with the guys on the floor and the coaches, and then being able to look it up at all the fans in the stands and then realize, hey, we won and we're going on to the Sweet 16. I mean, it was kind of a surreal moment. And then that interview was a lot of fun. And that whole evening, making it back, flying on the plane, getting back to Utah to so many people at the airport. It was something you'll never forget.
Definitely. Yeah, that airport return, I think, is something that a lot of the people from that team have remembered. Ryan, take us through your memories of coming back into Wichita and seeing all those fans at the airport.
Well, I remember getting, text messages. I was, right when it was kind of, became popular. And, people were like, yeah, we're at the airport. And you're thinking, okay, there's, a couple of people at the airport. And then I remember us turning the corner and coming down the ramp and seeing all these people. It's just like, oh, my God, we've done something really special. And, I don't know if we realized it in the moment, but I think, looking back on it, we truly, truly changed the outlook of mid-majors to the rest of the country forever.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That whole, not just Wichita State, the whole Valley that year, that in some ways opened the door to, George Mason that year, VCU, Butler, and then the Shockers in 2013. Did you have a sense during the season, during January and February, that there was some really good basketball being played in the Missouri Valley?
I thought our league was really good. Our league was really, really tough. Bradley had Marcellus Somerville and Patrick O'Brien. They were always really tough. Northern Iowa had Ben Jacobson. Southern Illinois had Jamal Tatum and Tony Young. There were really, really no nights off in the Missouri Valley during that time. Like, you had to come ready to play every night or you would get beat.
Yeah, I think I can't remember exactly how it happened, but we played – I remember we lost to Northern Iowa, and then after that we ended up having games where we played against we had the game maybe at Southern Illinois, and then we also had Creighton kind of in that last stretch, and man that was a tough road, you know, to get to the championship, and we pulled it off, you know. But I remember thinking each game or each weekend when the Valley would have a set of games, you kind of see where everything shook out, and it seemed like everything was leaders and or whoever won, whoever lost, it just changed the standings of the league every time the league played. So,
and for the Shockers, it all turned in the right direction on Valentine's Day when Matt Breyer hit the shot to beat Creighton in overtime, and I think Southern Illinois and Northern Iowa both lost that same day, and then the Shockers won the next two to wrap up the Valley title. Is there a good story from that season that you haven't told?
I'm sure some of it got told, but I mean, it's not a crazy story or nothing, but I can remember I don't know if it was that year. It was either that year or the year before. I don't think it was that game at Drake. I think it was a Indiana State game, I think. I didn't start that game because PJ and I were roommates, and PJ didn't wake me up in time to go to the bus. I woke up late from a nap. I looked over, and PJ just sitting in the bed watching TV, and I looked at my watch, and I thought, man, we're late. And PJ's like, yeah. Like, why didn't you wake me up, PJ? And I didn't start that game. I think that was the only game I didn't start. So,
oh, gosh.
So the lesson is, be careful if PJ's your roommate. Ryan, how about you?
For sure. I the Missouri State game in Springfield that year. We were down. I think we were down double digits at halftime, and Nick had to come in and hit a couple of big threes for us to end up winning that game. I think people forget about, like, that game because, like, we struggled. We had beat them at home pretty good, like, early the week before, I think. And then we went to Springfield, and they came out and jumped on us pretty good, and we weren't playing very well, and we figured out a way to win.
Yeah, I remember that game too. I remember room after that one. It was pretty fun, and just because we showed it, you know, we proved it to ourselves that we could come back and win a game like that, and how could, you know, that we could play together, and you know, it didn't matter if we screwed up a half or what, we could still overcome that. And that game was definitely that story. You know, we played awful first half, and then second half came out and played real well. Kyle had a big shot, I remember, down the stretch. And Nick came in and gave us a lift for sure.
That is a good memory. Yeah, Wichita State had beaten Missouri State 81-57 in the first meeting, and then played them just two games later, trailed down by 12 at halftime. And yes, Nick Rogers, that was perhaps his shining moment, I think, for as a Shocker, made both of his two threes to score 6 points in 5 minutes. Good memory. All right. Well, you guys have been very helpful. I appreciate you walking down memory lane with me.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.